So good to have you in the house of the Lord. It's always good to rejoice together, to welcome one another. And God is good, and He's doing great things, and He's going to do even greater things. And that's what we're believing God for. We're not settling for less. We're going for the more that God would have for us. So just want to mention as well that we do have a schedule of that prayer. If you'd like a kind of a schedule throughout this month of some various places that we're going to be praying, it's out there on the just where the bulletins were. And prayer is always available here at the church. You can come here at any time. So just feel free to do that as well, or pray in your homes. Well, this morning I want to continue talking about prayer as we enter into these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We just want to continue to encourage you to pray. And I really believe that this is a time that God has ordained, even though that this is also a time, it seems, around our world anyway, that people take this time in January to pray and also to fast. And you'll find that in every denomination out there, you'll find that they're also having days or weeks of prayer during this time. And so we're joining in with all the other denominations out there, and we're praying. And that is a good thing. Prayer is always good. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. And this is a message from St. Paul. I figure since we're living in St. Paul, it would be good to maybe take a message from St. Paul. And the Apostle Paul, as he would speak these words about prayer and how we should pray. And I think if we apply these words of St. Paul in our community of St. Paul and our surrounding region, that God's going to do some great things here. So 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 8, you'll also see it on the screen above me. And close to the end of your Bible, if you're trying to find that still. It says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. I'm using the New Living Translation. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf. Give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority, so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there's one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is a message God gave to the world at just the right time. And I've been chosen as a preacher and an apostle to teach the Gentiles this message about faith and truth. I am not exaggerating, just telling the truth. In every place of worship, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. Father, we just pray your blessing over your word here this morning, and we just thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Just might add, too, concerning prayer, we're still kind of doing some of that regional prayer, and we would like to get out into Goodfish, Saddle Lake, Two Hills, and anyone else that is living on the outskirts, feel free to volunteer your home, and we just come, we pray. You have some coffee on for afterwards, so it's not a real big thing, and it's just kind of a one-time thing. If you're open to do that, please talk to me. So this morning, I just want to continue to talk about prayers. We're coming into these 21 days of prayer and also fasting. We do recognize that prayer is important, that prayer really does change things. And personally, I really believe, not just because it's a January time and that normally that's what we kind of do as churches, I really do believe that God is calling His church, all churches, to prayer. And that we might call upon the Lord, because there's something to be breaking forth that's going to require us to dig in and to really pray about it. And that's why I really feel this time should be taken as a serious time. And normally we usually do a week. This time we're doing 21 days. And we're going to be fasting from January 15th to February the 4th. And I know some people have already started. I know I've already started as well. But I just want to encourage you to do those 21 days. And so mine's going to be more like 34 or 35 days. But that's important. I just feel that's what God is calling us to do here this morning. And fasting, just as Pastor Adam said, it can be from food or maybe it can be from some other things in our lives that maybe are taking a lot of our time and or something that we really enjoy. And it's important to do something that is a sacrifice to you. So it can be something as simple as a meal or two a day. It can be a thing like Daniel fast, which is no meats, no sweets, and you drink water. You can have a TV fast, media fast, Facebook fast. I'm not really here to dictate what kind of fast you have. I just want to encourage you to have some type of fast and that you fast something that you enjoy, to set those things aside. And I'm not encouraging you to do a 21 days of absolutely no eating or no drinking. Do not do that kind of a fast unless the Lord himself appears to you on the mountain like Moses and tells you to do so. Otherwise, you got to watch, make sure your health stays balanced there. So just want to encourage you to do that. I really believe it's going to break the resistance that many of us have been experiencing in our lives. I'm really believing it's going to bring us some breakthrough, restoration, some fulfillment of promises that have been spoken over us. And it's interesting, God has not stopped speaking over us. And full gospel, for those that are at full gospel this week, there are some words that came forth over our community and over us as your pastor as well. And God's still moving. God still has some big plans for this community. And it was really nice to hear from other people talking about that, and expect in the thousands of people that will come to Christ. And we're believing for that. We really are. And as we take this time to pray and get serious with God, I think that's going to open up those doors for some of those bigger things to happen. And during this time, we sometimes have a place, well, what do I pray? What should I say during this time? Pastor, I really don't know how to pray. I don't know how to get past 5 minutes. So what are some things that I can pray? Well, I think this passage really gives us a great description of what we can be praying for. And this is something the Apostle Paul is speaking to us, and being a community of St. Paul, I think this is a good word for us here this morning. So taking a look at this passage, one of the first things the Apostle Paul encourages us to pray for is all people. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them, intercede in their behalf, and give thanks for them. See, Paul is wanting us to widen our scope of prayer to include others. And if we're honest, a lot of times our prayers consist about me, about us as individuals. We kind of pray about all those things that are pertaining to ourselves. And then, sometimes we then go from those things that pertain to ourselves, we start praying for our other families. If we're married, our spouse, or if we have kids, we start praying for our kids. And then sometimes, we start to widen it out to pray, if you get it to be a grandparent, you pray for other kids. And that's great and that's wonderful, but God wants you to widen it to pray for all people. Start praying for other people. If all you've been praying for is just your family, I think God is here to tell us today, widen your scope. Start praying for other people besides your family. Start thinking of other people that you can pray for. And just as you would pray for your family, start praying for those other people. So our prayer focus needs to widen. It needs to include others. And when we come together as Christians, it really is our obligation that we should be praying for others. It really needs to be a part of our reach to pray for others. And we've been having our committee re-looking and re-examining all of our areas of vision and mission. And one of those is to reach, teach, and love like Jesus. Well, if we want to reach our world, then it begins with us reaching out to start praying for others, to start praying for those that we want to reach. Evangelism begins with praying for other people. If you want to see other people come into the kingdom, if you want to see people healed, if you want to see people delivered, if you want to see changed lives, it's not going to happen if we don't do that very first basic that you start to pray for it. Start praying for that to happen. Start praying for that individual. So if we want to reach our world, then we need to begin our reach by starting to pray for others. To start praying for the people we want to see saved, for the people that want to be healed, people that want to be delivered, family members, spouses, children. And you know, as we are praying for others here this morning, you need to realize that if you come from a family where all your family serves God, then you are truly blessed. Because there's many in this place that their families don't serve God. Some in this place, their spouse doesn't serve God, or their children don't serve God. So there's lots of areas that we can be praying for others, even if we just look within this place. And the Bible also tells us that as well, that we're to be praying for one another in the body of Christ. But that also extends out into all the others that are all around us in this whole area that we're to pray for. So in this time of fasting and prayer, I want to encourage you, just don't pray about your own needs. It's important that you do, but just don't stop there. Take some time to pray for others and the needs of others. Take some time to think about some other people that maybe are in need of a prayer, maybe that they're in need of someone to just begin to pray on their behalf. And I guarantee as you start to think about it, even if you just spend a couple minutes, there's always a name that will come to you. There's always a visual imprint in your mind that you see somebody. You say, Lord, I don't even know that person's name, but Lord, you just brought it to my mind. I'm going to pray for them today. So as we take these 21 days of fasting and prayer, I want to encourage you, pray for others. That's God's desire for the church, is that we would pray for others. Now, that's kind of a principle that we see from Old Testament to New Testament. I like Isaiah 56:7. It says, I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem. I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I will accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because of my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations. See, our prayers are to be about all people and all nations. There's no exceptions. We are to pray for all people, no matter their nationality, no matter their culture, no matter their background. We're to pray for all people. And what are we to pray for all people? There are three things that we're to pray for. We're to pray for help. We're to pray intercessions. And we're also to be praying in the area of thanksgiving. First of all, we need to pray for others that God will help them. So if you see somebody that's struggling, if you see some area where there's a difficulty that's happening around you or in your world, God says that we as a people of God need to be praying that God would help them. So when you're listening on your TV and you're watching some of the things that are going on, you need to be praying for some of those people that they're showing you on those newscasts. God says, I want you to pray for them. I want you to pray that God would help them. So that's the first area that you can pray about others. God, would you help this individual? God, would you help that person over there? God, would you help in this situation? Second thing it says, to intercede for them. And interceding, you are acting on behalf of that person who's in a difficulty or in a troubling situation. And sometimes, you know, people just need to know that there's others that are standing with them in prayer. You know, and sometimes, you know, we even get ourselves in positions where we can't pray. And so if we could just come alongside there and start praying and interceding on behalf of somebody else, that can be very important to them. And it's something that Jesus himself, of course, does continually on our behalf. The Bible says he sits at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes on our behalf. And so as he's listening to all those prayers we're praying, he's saying to the Father, Father, you see my son? You see my daughter down there? They're asking for this. So he's interceding on our behalf. We need to be interceding on behalf of one another. And then thirdly, we need to thank God for people. You know, a little appreciation is a great stimulus in helping us to pray. As we see some things that are going on that are good, or if we see somebody doing a good job, you know, it's great to give them a compliment. Great thing to do. Encourage somebody. But it's also good just simply to pray for them. Lord, I want to say thank you for this individual. Lord, they've been such a blessing in my life. God, I know they've been praying in this area. And so, Lord, I just want to join with them and pray and believe you that you're going to accomplish those things that they're asking for. Because, Lord, I've been really enjoying this person and I just want to bless them. And so, God, I'm just bringing them before you. So those are some things that we can pray when it comes to that area, praying for others. Now, secondly, in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul encourages us to pray for those in authority. 1 Timothy 2:2. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. So here we're encouraged to pray for kings and those in authority, which is speaking of praying for those who govern the country. Now, this is obviously very important to God because he's speaking of praying for those who govern our countries over those that we'd be praying for salvations, because that's the next one right after this. But this one is pushed first. And so it's very important to God that we would pray for our governments. Now, it's also an area where many of us probably don't follow through in this as well as we should. Now, I do know that we have some great people in this church that are really good for praying for our government. And the Bible is very clear that as Christians, we should be praying for our governments, from our federal to our provincial to our local governments. Now, if we're all honest, we're all pretty good at criticizing the government. Matter of fact, we're probably almost experts at criticizing our government and making our opinions known about our government officials. And yet God is telling us that there's a great need for us to be praying for our government. Now, personally, I have been praying more for our government. However, I also have some very strong views about our federal and our provincial leaders. There's some opinions that I have about Justin Trudeau that I'm sure that many of you also have. And there's times I really want to give it. I really want to express it, to be honest with you. I just want to say, yeah, this guy is. And every time I feel that, I also feel the Spirit of God hit me every time, without fail, I kid you not. And the Lord tells me, I want you to pray for him. I want you to pray for him. And I feel that so strong. There's a sensation inside of me that God is going to turn our prime minister around, that God is going to use him for his glory and for his honor. Just like Nebuchadnezzar, as Daniel prayed for Nebuchadnezzar, and he went through that time where he had to learn a lesson from God, but God used him. God turned that situation around. So friends, don't think that God can't turn it around. He can turn the situation around in our governments if we would pray. Our responsibility is actually not to criticize. That's the easy one. Our job is actually to pray for them, that God would touch them in a positive way. And just as we saw in those verses before, we're to pray help over them. God, they need help. We all know that one. Help them then, Lord. Help them. God, we intercede on their behalf. And if they do something good, say thank you, right? So we're to pray. Now, he also gives us some areas where we're to pray for our government. Despite our personal views, despite our personal party that we may belong to, we're still required to pray. And it includes three areas: the area of peace, godliness, and dignity. So when we think of our government, we need to be praying for peace. Pray that there will be no war. Lots of rumors of wars out there. I'm going to Hawaii in another week and a half. And hopefully there's not going to be a missile attack in Hawaii, that all those poor people that got that text on their phone to say, take cover, a missile is on its way. Thank God there was no missile. But yet there is the reality today in our world that we live in that a missile could come. Even here in Canada, a missile could come to our nation. So it says, pray for peace. Pray for peace over the government. There'd be no war. Pray for an ending of hostilities towards one another. Where there's hostilities that are happening towards one another in our nation, we need to be praying that those hostilities would cease. We need to be praying for an abstaining from fighting. We need to be praying for freedom from civil commotion and violence in our communities. We need to be praying for peace and quiet in our nation. And that word peace covers all those things. So if you wonder, what should I pray over our government? You pray peace. Peace over our governments, from the federal to the provincial to the local, or whatever group that you're from, that you pray for them. It also says, pray for your government in the area of godliness for our nation, that the laws and that the will of God would be upheld. And that's an area that's really being severely attacked in our nation right now. It's making it very hard if you have a Christian stand or a Christian standard right now. Your government is really targeting you as Christians. If there's a target right now of our federal government, it is against Christians. And it makes me kind of, why would you attack Christians when the Bible says we're the ones to be praying for you? Why would you do that? But that's the sign of the Antichrist. That's the sign of the enemy that comes in to push people away from Christianity. So we're to pray for godliness in our nation. If you're alarmed by what's happening in the nation and how people are continually, from our provincial government to our federal government, are really coming down hard on Christians, then you as Christians better get praying. You better start praying for that, because the Bible says it's your responsibility. You can change the nation. You can change the province. You can change your county. You can change your town. You can change your city. You can change your reserve if you will pray for your leaders. So that's very important as well. Also says in this area of government, pray for dignity, the respect and the appreciation of all people in our nation. So that's another area that you can be praying for as we come to this area of our government. And then verse 3, it says, this is good and pleases God, our Savior. So that's telling us that God wants our governments to be good. God wants good government. He really does. But he's calling us as a people of God that we would pray for them. God help our government. God help them. They need help. We all know that. They do. Pray, begin to intercede on their behalf. Begin to pray that godliness would be upheld. Begin to pray that dignity, respect for people would be upheld. So those are some of the things that, as we come into these 21 days of fasting and prayer, encourage you to do that. Pray for those areas. And then thirdly, the Apostle Paul tells us that we're to pray for people to be saved, to experience the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation is basically a truth encounter, that we come to that realization that Jesus Christ is the truth, that he is the way, that he is the life, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world, that he came to save us from our sins, that as we repent of our sins, that he saves us, he cleanses us of all our unrighteousness and promises us an eternity with him in heaven. So that's something that we're to be praying for. For 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 again. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. So we really need to be praying that people would come to that understanding of truth. Because sometimes people go to church, they hear about God, they know about God, but they've never experienced God. And so there has to be a truth encounter for them, that it goes from the head down into the heart. And so that's what we need to be praying for over our community, over our loved ones, upon all people, because God desires all people to be saved. And again, that's the first part of obeying the Great Commission, to go into all the world, preach the gospel. That's part of our reach, right? That reach, teach, love like Jesus. Well, the first part of your reach is to start praying for people to be saved. You might be wondering, how come this, why are we seeing more people come into the kingdom? Why aren't we seeing more people come to church? Why aren't we seeing more people being saved? Oh, are you praying about it? Have you been targeting someone? Say, God, I really believe this person, they really need to come to you, God. I'm praying for them. I'm inviting them. I'm doing all these things. Or are we just going to think, well, you know what? Our reputation as a church is going to just bring all these people in. No, it's our job, individuals, to go out there in the world Share the gospel with people. Pray for people. Be praying that people would be saved. Are you praying for your mom and dad? If you're here today and your parents are not saved, are you praying for them to be saved? Or do you just pray that every couple months or so, maybe? Or maybe you've kind of got tired of praying for them and kind of figured, well, I guess it's not going to happen. What about your children? Are you still praying for your children? Oh, well, it's been 30 years and they're still not coming to God. I guess it's just not going to happen. You don't stop. You don't stop. You know what? There's prayers of our ancestors gone on before us. They're still active. And it's calling up their great-grandchildren are calling, being called up to be saved. We're coming to a time of prayer and fasting, 21 days. You can be praying for salvation. Start with your parents if your parents aren't saved. Start with your children if your children aren't saved. Then go on out to your other family members, brothers and sisters. Then begin to go out to aunts and uncles and cousins and begin to go around to your neighbors and people that are all around. There's so many people that need to be saved. The Bible says all need to be saved. All of us do. So pray into that. If we would start praying into salvations, we would see this church so full that there'd be that whole grass out there would be filled with cars if we would start to pray. The first thing you do about your reach, you start praying into it. Start praying for salvation. Take some time in your prayer and say, God, who do I need to be praying for right now? And I can guarantee you there's already names that God has brought and put in your head that, you know, he's probably saying, you know what, you haven't prayed for so-and-so in a while to be saved. Keep praying. Keep praying. Don't give up on that. It's every Christian's obligation to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul tells us that starts with us by praying for that to happen. So since our focus is on prayer this January, let's take these next 21 days. Let's get serious about praying for some loved ones. Let's get serious about praying for some people, even people we don't even know. Maybe God might just get rid of a picture and say, you know, oh yeah, I remember that person over there. Don't really know who they are, but that picture's in my mind. I'm going to start praying for them that they would be saved and they would experience the truth of Jesus Christ. Because God desires all to be saved. That means everyone. All nations, all cultures, all tribes, all colors, everybody. The Bible tells us that the Lord isn't really being slow about his promise of returning. 2 Peter 3:9. As some people think, so he's being patient for your sake because he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, doesn't want anyone to perish, but he wants everyone to repent. See, it is God's will that everyone be saved. Everybody. Not just a few. There's not just a few chosen and that's it. God desires everyone to be saved. So that means we're to be praying that everyone would be saved in this whole area. We're praying that God's will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of God's wills is that all would be saved. So we need to be praying for others to be saved from judgment, that they would not perish, but that they come to the truth that Jesus Christ is Savior of all. So let's pray for salvation. It's not going to happen if we don't do our job and begin to pray. And that fasting, it just kind of brings that to just another level, shows our more seriousness with God to say, okay, I'm not taking no for an answer. I'm not taking no for an answer. There's so many mothers. You know, a lot of mothers have been such great examples in this area that I often sometimes tease people when, you know, they're contemplating come to God or not. And I just tell them, your mom's praying for you. And you know it as well as I do. When a mom prays for you, it's done and it's over. It's going to happen. Because they're not going to give up. Well, all of us need to be the very same way. I'm not giving up. You're going to get saved. You're going to come into the kingdom of God because I'm going to keep praying for you. I'm going to take times of fasting for you to show my seriousness because I know I'm in the will of God. I know this is what God wants for them as well, that they would come to salvation and to the truth. Fourthly, as we pray, we're to pray through Jesus Christ and him only. 1 Timothy 2:5-6. For there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. As we pray, pray in the name that God tells us that we have authority. Pray in the name of Jesus. God, come to God through Christ because he's the only mediator that reconciles us with God. Don't bother praying to other gods. Don't bother praying to other idols or some kind of exercise or some kind of philosophy or various forms of incense and culture. There's only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be praying and you want your prayers to be heard, there's only one way it's going to be heard. That's through praying through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12. There is salvation and no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus Christ, he is the way, he is the truth and the life. And as we come before our Father in heaven, we come before him through what Jesus Christ has done for us. Jesus Christ is the one that has purchased our freedom. He died on a cross for our sins. No other God, no other spiritual leader did that for us. Jesus went beyond that as well, rising from the dead, ascending into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, and interceding on our behalf. It only makes common sense that the only person that you need to go through and reaching the Father God is through Jesus Christ. So, as you pray, use the name of Jesus. That's the authority that you can come before him. It's not on yourself that you can come before him. It's through the authority of Jesus Christ. Kind of interesting that Jesus himself, he kind of helps us in this area as well and says that to us quite plainly in John 16:23-24. He said, at that time, you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth. You will ask the Father directly and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. He's talking to his disciples. So he says, ask using my name, and you will receive, and you will have abundant joy. So as you pray, you kind of conclude those prayers in Jesus' name. As you bring each other in Jesus' name, that's the authority that you can come before your God, in Jesus' name. So use that name, because it's the name that's above all other names, the Bible says. There is no name greater than the name of Jesus. And so as you come boldly before the throne room of grace, that access has been won for you through Jesus Christ and what he has done. As you will pray in Jesus' name, you will get a favorable response. Then lastly, from this encouragement by the Apostle Paul, we're to pray with clean hands, clean hearts. 1 Timothy 2:8, in every place of worship. Again, notice there's no exceptions here. I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and controversy. So as we are coming before God to pray, basically what that's doing, if we could put that in more modern language, is it's time to deal with your stuff. So if you've got things in your life that aren't right with God, as you're coming before God and you want to be really serious with God, then you need to deal with your stuff. Time to deal with that. Deal with those issues before you start praying. Come before God in holiness and with freedom from anger and controversy. You know, when we speak of holiness today, a lot of people kind of almost put a cross at you and say, oh, you're religious. Listen, holiness is still important to God. The Bible tells us, be holy as I am holy. Stop trying to water that down that it doesn't really mean that. Holiness means holiness. It's still important. It means consecration. It means devotion to God. It means striving to live a righteous life. So as we come before God, we want to come before him in holiness, dealing with our sin, dealing with those things where, you know, we don't have right attitudes or we don't have right thoughts. We're to do that as we come before God in prayer. Where it also says that we need to come being free from anger and controversies. And in other words, again, telling you to deal with those problems before you come before God in prayer. If you're angry with somebody, you need to deal with that. You can't keep coming back to God and thinking that it's just going to go away. You got to deal with your anger. You got to deal with those resentments and bad thoughts about others. And when you're praying, don't come with a bad mood. Man, sometimes we can come so critical and such a terrible mood that somebody really needs to slap us. I think sometimes that'd be a good thing if God could kind of, years ago, like you used to get a cuff in the back of your side of your head. You're not allowed to do that no more. I think they need to bring that back, just to snap people up. It actually tells us that some psychology is there that it actually helps the brain to restart up again. That, hell yeah, let's get back into reality here. But sometimes we need that with God. Time to deal with those things. And we have any of those thoughts or any anger, resentments. God doesn't want us coming before Him with those things in our hearts. He says He wants us to deal with any controversies, contentions with other people or prolonged disputes about differences that we have and our differences of our opinions. And opinions are going crazy today. Everyone thinks that their opinion is so good. God doesn't care about your opinion. Sorry. He doesn't care about our opinions. He cares about truth. He cares about us doing what we're called to do. So deal with your stuff. I really like how King David dealt with some of those issues in his own life. And there's some psalms I like to sometimes not just read those psalms, I like to pray those psalms. One of those psalms I love to pray is Psalm 51. I just open up the Bible to Psalm 51 and I read it out loud and I just say to God, God, this is my prayer today. One of those verses that I really like is verses 9 and 10. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit or a right spirit within me. We used to sing that chorus, create in me a clean heart. I still sometimes sing it because I'm singing scripture. And so I like to sing it. But it's a prayer that I really mean. Lord, create in me a clean heart. I want to have a clean heart as I come before you. And obviously God's saying, and I'm desiring that too. I want you to have a clean heart as you come to me. One of the things that really spoke to me as I was looking over that passage again last night was where, as David was coming before the Lord and wanting a clean heart, he also came before the Lord and he was saying to God that, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. And a lot of times I read that and I think of that, well, no, you sinned against Bathsheba, you sinned against Uriah, you sinned against and you just kind of make that big list. But David realized something that's very important that we need to realize as well. You know, sometimes, you know, when we sin and we do things that are wrong and even with other people and we can go to them, sometimes it's easier to go to those individuals and say, I'm sorry, than it is to come back before God and say, God, I messed up. God, I was misrepresenting your name. I was doing these things and we repent before God. That's very important for us to do, to have clean hands, clean hearts. You might have to go back and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for this situation that arose, God. And Lord, yes, I may have asked for forgiveness, but I didn't ask your forgiveness. I misrepresented your name, Lord. I wasn't being a good Christian at that time, God, and I just asked that you would forgive me for that. So that's something that's important as well. Another passage of scripture I like to take around, and I do that often as well. I'll comment. I love walking around the sanctuary as I pray. And another passage of scripture I like to read out loud and pray out loud is from Psalm 139. And it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. That's such an important prayer because sometimes we don't know that we offended God. We don't know that there's something we've allowed into our lives that has actually been hindering us, and we're unaware of it. We don't even see it. And so it's a great prayer to say, Lord, show me anything that offends you. Again, it's kind of putting yourself out there with God to say, okay, when I say anything, God, that means anything. Thoughts, attitudes, not just our actions. Cleanse me of all those things, God. So as we come into these 21 days of fasting and prayer, let's look at ourselves and let's be willing to deal with any area that may be hindering our prayers. Let's deal with our stuff. And we might be able to come before God lifting up holy hands before Him. It's a great thing to lift up your hands to God. know, we're showing, you know, our allegiances to Him as we lift up those hands. Our hands are showing that, you know, we're honoring you, God. God wants us to lift up holy. It's a form of worship when you lift up those hands. Maybe you see that here in our church. You guys, I think you guys are kind of strange. Well, gosh, I see people do that at the hockey game, man. Their hands are all raised up in the air and they're rejoicing. But why can't we rejoice about our God? Put up our hands. And throughout history, people have done allegiance to the, you know, to various people, raise their hand. Well, our allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I stick up my hand, I'm reminding myself, my allegiance to you, Lord Jesus. Lift up holy hands. So in closing this morning, I hope these instructions on prayer by the Apostle Paul have been helpful to you and reminded you of a few areas that we need to include in our time of prayer and fasting. We need to be praying that all people take the focus beyond yourself. Too often, you know, we don't set aside enough time in prayer, and so our focus becomes just on ourselves. Start praying for others. Start asking God, God, is there someone I need to be praying for today? I guarantee if you would ask that, a name will come to you or a picture will come to your mind of someone that you need to pray for. Pray for others. Pray for those in authority, especially the governments. To be honest with you, I haven't been a great person in praying for governments. I really haven't been. It's really only been of late where I'm kind of getting rebuked, to be personally honest with you, when I have some certain thoughts about our government, where the Lord's coming right back at me and say, well, I want you to pray for them. I can still do great things. God can still do great things. If Canadians would start praying for their nation, it'll turn around. It will turn around. If Americans would start praying for their nation, instead of fighting and arguing and, oh, goodness, it's just, you almost hate to turn on the news. That's all you hear. Start praying. Start praying. Start interceding for your governments. God is wanting to see good government. God is wanting to do good things through our governments. And He's saying it's our responsibility as Christians that we do the praying. Pray for salvations. I think God wants to remind us today that salvation is very important. We know that. Well, who are you praying for? Who are you praying for? If we're not praying for anybody, then why should we expect to see anybody get saved if we're not praying for anybody? Start praying for your neighbors. Start praying for other loved ones that you know. Start praying for the worst people. Sometimes that's the greatest thing you do. Go out and look for the worst person you can think of that there's not a chance that this person would ever come to Christ. Those are often the best people to come to Christ because the change in life is so great that it causes many others to take note of it and then they respond to Christ. Start praying for that. Start praying for your coworkers. By name, start calling them out to God and say, God, I want to see these people saved. I want to see these people come to the truth. It's the first part of your reach is to pray. Pray through Christ. Use the name of Jesus. Don't get caught up in everyone trying to add stuff to it. That, oh yeah, pray, but you use this and use that and use this thing, item here. No, it's through Jesus' name and that's it. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to God but through Jesus Christ and what He has done. Pray. Pray through that name. And then clean hands. Clean hearts. Let's really get serious. Say, okay, God, I know I'm not perfect because none of us are. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. So there's not one of us here that are perfect. So there's imperfections in all of us. So we pray to God, God, I need you to show me some of them. And often He'll show you some things that you're not even aware of. But we've got to get serious. Serious prayer gets serious response. I believe that there's family members that are going to come into the kingdom because of prayer during these 21 days. As you start to pray and seek God, you're going to see family members come to Jesus Christ. If you get serious about it, God will get serious about answering that request. I'm believing God for that. If you have a serious area of need in your life that you're praying for or something that has to happen, let's get serious with God. Believe with you that God's going to touch you. I encourage you this. If you have a big need out there, I know we're so private today. Tell somebody. Well, it's embarrassing of a doubt. Tell somebody that you can trust and get other people to start joining with you and praying. for that particular need or that particular situation and saying, we're not taking no for an answer, God. We're joining together and we're praying together. We need to do that. So these next 21 days, Monday, January 15th to Sunday, February the 4th, let's pray and fast. Let's believe God for breakthrough, restoration, fulfillment of promises, resistance being removed. Now, I see that resistance is already starting to be removed, but I believe as we start to pray and fast, it's going to be broken entirely. So I want to encourage you to do that. Prayer and fasting is going to be a great time of benefit for every one of us. I really believe that. And if we will take that serious, it's going to happen. And if you're in church praying and you want to pray some other things, remember Cynthia, she led you out in that prayer. She put it up here. I did that a few days ago. I just took that sheet out. I put it back. But I took it out and I just read that out loud and just prayed for those areas and declarations, making those. There's lots of helps out there for you to pray. But I believe if we'll take this time seriously, we're going to see some major things take place and happen. Let's get serious and God will be serious with us. Father, I thank you. God, prayer is your idea. And so, Lord, we want to come in alignment with your idea to pray. We do want to be praying for others. God, forgive us that we sometimes just get so focused on ourselves and our own problems that we kind of forget to pray for other people and other situations. So, God, bring those things to our remembrance so that we can be praying for other people and other situations in our communities, our families, in our world. God, I pray that you would help us to pray for our government. Lord, as we look at the United States and Canada right now, there's so much criticism going on about our leaders. And Father, we're just as guilty because we're doing it just as much. So Father, forgive us of our criticisms and help us to start praying for them that you would help them. And that, Lord, godliness would be upheld. And that good things would happen in our nations. So, God, we pray for that. We pray again for salvations. It's time, Lord. God, I know there's people here that have been praying for kids 40 years. They haven't seen them saved yet. But it's coming. God, give them strength to pray some more. God, I believe that you have our mothers and fathers that you want in the kingdom, because you said in your word that you desire all to be saved. So as we pray for mom and dads to experience salvation, we know, God, that we're praying what you desire. That's your desire. You want them to be saved. And so, Lord, we're going to be praying for our moms and their dads. We're going to be praying for our brothers, our sisters, our cousins, our other relatives. We're going to be praying for neighbors. We're going to be praying for people we don't even know. And that, God, you start to impress us as we go throughout our communities and our regions, that even as we see somebody, that you just quicken us in our spirit and say, I want you to start praying for that individual. Start praying for them. And God, we also want to come before you through the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given us access to the Father. That we can come before you, as you say, boldly. Boldly. Because you paved the way for us. And you sit at the right hand of the Father. And you're already interceding. So Lord, we're coming in agreement with you. And helping with those prayers to rise up to our Heavenly Father to be answered. And Father, we pray, cleanse us. Every one of us want to lift up holy hands unto you, God. Without wrath, without doubting, without controversies, without resentments. We want it all gone. That we have clean hearts, clean hands, as we come before you and as we pray. So Lord, help us to deal with our stuff. Help us deal with our stuff. Give us strength. Give us help, we pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And this morning as we close, hopefully I still have enough breath in here to do this. Often in the Bible, when there were important days or announcements of feasts and stuff like that, They would often blow the shofar to announce that these are the days that we're doing these things, and it was kind of just to proclaim that announcement. And this here would be one of those. That's what a shofar would look like. That's what they would use, one of these. And they would blow that and to symbolize this is the start. We want to blow it at the start. We want to blow it at the end of these 21 days. Because we're really believing that it's going to break those resistance. And as you study about some of these things about the shofar, one of the things that it actually tells us about blowing that shofar, what they believed as they would do that, that it would cause the demons to flee. It would cause those demons to tremble. It would even cause the devil to think, is this the last trump? Is he coming back right now? And so there's some neat, unique things here about the shofar. And so I'm going to ask you if you would just stand together. And musicians, you come back to the instruments. And I'm just going to try to blow this. And we're just going to do this as this is the beginning of our consecration. Now, if you've already started fasting and you're going to do a longer time or whatever, that's fine too. But I just felt to do this just to make this declaration. And let it be a sound as they start those festivals. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. We declare this to be a fast unto you, a solemn occasion unto you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name. So we just serve the enemy notice. You're in trouble, enemy, because we're going to pray, we're going to fast, we're going to beseech heaven, and we're going to see some great and awesome things take place. Hallelujah. So we serve you notice today in the name of Jesus, because those things, those shackles, they're going to start falling off. Those scales are going to start falling off. Hallelujah. Those breakthroughs are going to start happening in the name of Jesus. In fact, they're already starting to happen right now. Hallelujah. So as we leave this place today, let's rejoice with one more song. Give praise to our God, for He is great and He is mighty. Worthy of all our praise. Amen. Hallelujah. In your life, new breakthroughs are going to start to happen. So friends, I don't think this is by accident that we're going to be doing this. I'm believing for great things in response to this. So we just bless you as you go, and that God will bless you and touch you. If you're in need of prayer, please feel free to come forward. We'll pray for you. Or if you're there in your seat and you don't want to come forward, just maybe touch somebody, say, hey, I could use some prayer today. Could you have someone come pray with me? And so if you don't want to be embarrassed, if you find that embarrassing to come up, just ask somebody beside you and we'll make sure you get prayer. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of God. Bless you as you take a part in fasting and prayer.